Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm very excited to be talking with Davey Fung. Davey is a product design lead supporting the Meta Business Design System. Previously, he's been the design manager for design systems for Disney Plus and Hulu. In his spare time, Davey co-hosts the Design Systems Office Hours podcast, talking about all things design systems, and loves coffee. Davey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Guy. Very excited to be here.
It is a true honor having a podcasting legend on the podcast. And in a very meta move, you want to talk today about podcasting.
Yeah, that's one of my, longer standing hobbies. When you first approached me about the idea of talking about hobbies, I was thinking about the variety of different things that I've gotten myself into in the past 10 years. And I tend to pick things up and I run with it. I dive super deep for about 6 months to a year. And luckily, this podcasting thing has lasted, I think, two years now. So it's one of my longer standing hobbies at this point.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think podcasting stuck?
Yeah, something that sort of dawned on me, I think, when you were talking to my podcast partner, PJ, on a previous episode about photography, is like I've been looking for hobbies and things that I could sort of stretch my creative mind that I could do in between things. So like similar to my podcast partner, PJ, I have two kids, two toddler sized Mandalorians, I would say, and editing podcasts. I could do the conversations like we're having now during the day, during the work hours, and that's a good stretch of my brain. And then the minutia of editing the podcasts, like I got really super into that. And maybe that was part of like a look back to 20 years ago when I was like playing in like hardcore bands and making music. At that time, I didn't really produce anything on my own, but 20 years later, here I am.
That's awesome. So I usually like to start with your origin as a podcaster. How did that start?
I listened to a shit ton of podcasts. And I think there was a time when I used to commute. Now I work remotely full time. And always before I get on the BART train, that was the transit that we have back in the Bay Area, I would queue up some podcasts. And there would be And if you look at my feed, it's like a pretty wide array of different types of things like sports, fantasy sports, finance, technology, parenting. And I found it extremely fascinating that this medium could cover such a wide array of things and a variety of different time segments too. So you have some podcasts that are shorter than 10 minutes, which I'm always a little bit baffled about like how you could be so succinct. And then you have podcasts like yours and mine that are more in like the 30 minutes and you dive into one specific area and then see where it goes. And one thing that I was very fascinated about was just the idea of just having one thing that you wanted to target talking about, whether it's podcasting or in our regular day-to-day lives, like design systems, and really just hit it and dive like super deep into something with the allotted time that you have.
That's awesome. So was design systems always the thing that you had in mind? Or was that just like, you know what, I need to pick a subject that's something that's easy for me to talk about?
I think the idea of what to talk about, I've been toying with for a while too, and I specifically wanted originally to get into writing. So a lot of us in the design space do like Medium posts, or we write on our own blogs, and I had started doing that, and I had imposter syndrome with just publishing the thing. And I remember talking to my podcast partner PJ about something very, very in the weeds about design systems. And then there was a time where we thought, well, this might be useful for some other people. Maybe if there was like 10 to 20 other people that would be interested in this, maybe we should try recording this. And we did that 2 years ago, and we've been sort of trying to continue the magic like ever since. And the format much hasn't changed, but it's really about, I think originally for me, getting out of our comfort zone, being able to articulate ourselves within one specific topic area and really being able to answer questions and go back and forth and be confident and succinct with that.
The format of a conversation between two people, was that something that you intentionally wanted to have?
Let me think about the answer for that. I think the idea of this two colleagues or two friends talking design and talking shop, I think was something that was very appealing to us. Very, I think, less of like the interview style, because we know like we do have obviously there's other design system podcasts. There's the Design Systems podcast that is more of interview focused. I would say maybe even more product and product design focused than ours. Ours is going back and forth. Sometimes we like to play good cop and bad cop. We try to switch those roles from time to time. But we do particularly enjoy when I know that I have a very specific poignant point of view that PJ may disagree with, we'll run with it. And a lot of times PJ's the one with the more spicy point of view, and then I'm trying to really challenge him and provide a different point of view. But at times we also align, which is like not typical of a debate style, but it's sort of, well, if you've explained yourself well enough and seems sort of feasible, yeah, I think this is, you have a good point.
You're saying that you are seeking those areas where you and PJ have this difference of opinion, or you would try to intentionally go in a different direction. Is that something that aligns with how you are outside of podcasting?
I would like to think the research part of my brain and being empathetic and user focused, I think that's where this comes from, because I think prior to working in design systems, I was a product design generalist, and I think PJ thought I said journalist. So I would love to be considered a product design journalist. Maybe that's what podcasters are in the future. But very much a part of my job was really trying to understand, for instance, at Disney Plus, how people watch movies and how kids discover movies with their parents, how they watch and they co-watch, or if they're just watching on their own, how those behaviors are developed. So really trying to understand, even from like a design system maintainer or product design point of view, how people are interacting with your things and how some people might feel differently about it. And a lot of that, like from the podcaster side of us, is like trying to articulate how we feel, how PJ feels, and then other things that we sort of see in the wild from the different people that utilize our things.
So you have the idea, you have a partner for your podcast. How did it start? Like, how did you technically start your first episode?
It's so interesting. Like PJ, I think, is a very tactical design partner. So he asks, like, how much might this cost? Like, what sort of, like, do we need to rent an RSS fee? Like, how do we record this thing? So a lot of it was, at first, we have a notes document, and I could scroll back to that and see like, oh, well, there's all these different podcast services that you could use. And then if you put it here, then you got to use the RSS or another mechanism to distribute that. And the RSS feed, as old as that is a mechanism of how you distribute podcasts. And then the different, I would say the different pieces that we needed, other than like the software, like the microphones and such, I had found a microphone that worked for us. And then I got PJ the same microphone. So he has more of like the voice that you have, Guy, which is more lower. I needed something to sort of like lower my higher pitched voice. So we found a sound that worked. And then as the episode sort of evolved, then it sort of, we added an extra layer of complexity, which was like editing and how might we want to edit this thing. So I'll talk about a little bit the decisions that were made, including the software. So we needed a tool that would be able to record and duplex the audio. That was the official term I saw. And basically that just means like splitting like your audio and my audio at this distinct WAV file. So many services do that. And initially I'd just use whatever free software on our machines that we had. So at that point not iMovie, GarageBand, yes. But we're utilizing GarageBand, and it worked for the most part. It worked really well. And as like a free piece of software, like no brainer for us. I did want some extra capabilities in terms of mixing. So then I upgraded to a Logic, which was the like just the Studio Pro version of GarageBand, which we're still using now. So I think more so after we figured out what we wanted to do, got the services set up, got all of our microphones and like started recording. Like then it was trying to understand different methods, like relearning the software itself. Like I did at some point 20 years ago when I was like making music, I did get into some editing. So this wasn't completely foreign to me, but timeline editing is like a whole different thing than say using Figma, for instance.
You record your first episode. Do you remember what it was about?
We recorded a demo episode that it doesn't exist anywhere. So I recorded a demo episode talking about design systems with a designer that was on my team. And that episode was about, I really wanted to showcase, a lot of it was showcasing how proud I was with working with my colleague Ray and how we were able to sort of like rise from the depths as production designers and become these full-fledged lead product designers on these teams. And then I was able to get a management role on the team and steer the team. And the conversation was about how we, I don't want to say manifested because that's sort of like a very hooty-tooty word, but how we created the roles based on business need. I guess that's the best way to say it. And I was very proud of that episode. But then when we were listening to it back, Ray didn't feel as comfortable with that. So I held that one back. PJ has that episode as well. But that really got us into a lot of the logistics and sort of breaking the nerves down with talking live on a recorded line and even like testing out microphones and such.
So that's fascinating that your demo was an interview with a third person, because as far as I remember, other than another episode where you have a guest on, it was always just a conversation between you and PJ. That first experience in the demo, did that shape the way you approached the podcast, or was it just happenstance that it was always a conversation between the two of you?
I think it was more so getting my feet wet with someone that I work with day to day and I talk to just from my comfort level, because I would say if I didn't get into podcasting, I was looking for other avenues to get into public speaking. So luckily the podcasting did lead to like speaking opportunities, but if there wasn't those speaking opportunities, then I would have to look at something, say like Toastmasters or like doing something like design meetups and really trying to get my feet up that way. It just happens to be, I feel like podcasting is very good to get a lot of velocity and a lot of like reps in, because we're recording every few weeks. Sometimes we'll record one episode. Sometimes we'll record two episodes if we're a little crazy, but it's a lot of practice that we've gotten in the past 2 years.
So you were saying this was one of the things you tried out to get better at public speaking. Do you notice a difference now that you're actually doing public speaking? Has it helped?
I think it helps frame ideas in like a very succinct manner. So it helps on the public speaking side because it helps us. I think a big portion of this that is extremely helpful is there's no visuals. So we're focused purely on me speaking to you and trying to articulate as succinct as possible. Granted, on our podcast, there's some portion where one of us goes off the deep end and we need to be reined in, but we are very aware of that and one of us reins each other in. I would say from like a professional standpoint with like presenting at work, I think it's given me a lot more confidence in presenting in very short segments. So previously, I would say like if someone was giving me like, oh, you only have 5 minutes to do this, 5 minutes to me is like quite a long time, because if I'm looking at the segments of speech in the audio editor, most of the time, one of us will ask a question or give like a talking point. And then if I'm looking at the segment, they're usually like 3 to 5 minutes long as like a response. So that gave me a lot of confidence in being able to succinctly express what I want to.
So after the demo, how did you start your cadence of recording?
Yeah, the idea was we wanted to record, and it's the same day, like every week still, like on Wednesdays in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific time. We wanted to nail a time. In terms of releasing, we try to release on Thursdays. We used to do weekly, but just to give us a little bit more time to not record or to go on vacation. We do this bi-weekly now. So a lot of times I have the ability to just sort of stack and queue up episodes, as fun as that is. And I would say the way that we try to come up with things is I love design Twitter. I'm still going to call it Twitter. Design X sounds really odd to me. I love design Twitter. There's lots of good topical things on there. I pick and choose things off there that I see that are popular amongst the community. And if it's something that's extremely timely, I'll try to prioritize that and bump it up to the queue. But a lot of times we just have a very long Google Doc. It's called Pod Ideas. Pod article. So I post links in there, try to get a reaction from one of us, and then we'll come up with a topic sometimes a few days beforehand, and then we'll just go.
So tell me about releasing your first episode.
I think the scariest part is people not listening to your first episode or your first episodes. And I'll fast forward like a year and a half to starting a different podcast. So I started a second podcast, also design related, called Design Dads. And like you could have been on that podcast too, Design Dads. And starting the episode, like starting a new podcast up, there's a lot of patience with trying to figure out like how long to stick with something and then seeing if it grows or not. And the nervousness originally with the design podcast, the Design System Office Hours, was that there may not have been the reach that we wanted. So then we were just trying to get boots on the ground and try to publicize in the places where we had design coverage. So Twitter, LinkedIn, I think is extremely good for something like our podcast because it's semi-work related. And then I would say over the course of a few months, I think as soon as other opportunities sort of started springing along with this, like speaking opportunities, or if I was, it sort of coincided like happily with me starting to speak at like conferences. So I think there's a cyclical thing there that I think sort of helps. And like I'll do that, PJ will do stuff on Twitter, he'll do stuff like right now he's working on the typeface that's garnering like attention. He's doing a lot more like writing, and I think it sort of keeps the people coming along. And it's originally we thought, well, if we could help some people, you know, that like if we could help a dozen people, that would be extremely helpful. But I think as we've been releasing and while we're posting stuff on like LinkedIn or Twitter, I would say specifically on LinkedIn, like we get a lot of positive feedback and even like engagement on specific episodes or previous episodes. And even like now, 2 years later, like meeting people that are finding us for the first time is extremely fascinating, because I still feel that most of the things that we talk about are not time sensitive too. So that was one thing that we wanted to make sure. If anyone comes to this, like they could listen to episode 10 and it would still be relevant. So I think after like the first 10 episodes, I think we felt a little more comfortable. It was also understanding like that it's a little more rough around the edges. Like it's a conversation. Granted, we have like music to cue us in, to cue us out. We have a jingle. That's a fun thing. But I remember one person like telling PJ, is like, oh, I really like how intentionally raw your podcast was. And then the producer side of me was like, what the fuck are you talking about raw? Like I edit the hell out of this thing. Is it because we're just not scripted? Is that how it is? So I'm a little less self-conscious about it now.
What other reactions did you get for the podcast?
I think data-wise, I think our retention is very, very high. So people aren't like, we're not losing people when we go off the deep end, like in minute 12. So that's good. I think people like that it's not something that is specifically tool related. So there's a lot of podcasts that are like maybe specific to Figma or like React or, you know, that sort of thing. We're not specifically about anything like that, but we do go super deep onto certain things, and like we'll pick and choose when to mention specific tools and dive in. And I think people enjoy that it's really us unraveling something and then going super deep onto it. And the other sort of like point of view is that for most of this time, PJ was a manager and I was an IC. So like that is already a difference in view and different leveling of views. And I think that's extremely important because he'll always remind me to like previously, like tie stuff. Got to tie it back to business objectives. You got to tie this back to like the love language of your design leaders. And specifically now working at Meta, working on business tools, 100% correct and 100% spot on.
You mentioned the feedback you got that your podcast is very raw. Were there any other surprising reactions to the podcast?
I think people love hearing, like, to my chagrin anyways, I think people love hearing background noise. Like, I don't hear anything right now, like, as like the kids are napping or outside playing. There's nothing in your background, but there's sometimes circumstances where, like, there's dogs on both sides of me. Sometimes they go nuts. Sometimes my kids will be yelling at the dogs. Sometimes we'll be yelling at the kids. And I think it's sort of like one of those things where when we first became, like, remote people, I guess involuntarily due to COVID, it did help you understand. And it's a reminder that we're all human and we have other things going on in our lives. So it does humanize us a bit. I try to take, I've been for the life of me trying to figure out how to take out and noise gate the sound of kids or dogs and like cancel that stuff out, but it's extremely difficult. But I'll get there. Maybe I'll have to spend some money on it. You know, who knows?
You mentioned in the beginning that other than playing at a few bands and not releasing anything yourself, this was basically your first avenue where you put something out into the world. You know, kids aside, and so far you've had two podcasts. What makes podcasting easier for you to create?
I think it's being able to have a conversation. And I think it's extremely interesting to me because if I'm behind this, and I'm interviewing or being interviewed or having a conversation about something with someone else, I think it's relatively easy. I would say in a public setting at a meetup or at like a social sort of event, I think it's a little different. And I'm hoping that some of like the more professional aspects of this will help me out in the real world with creating and having sort of these longer form conversations with people to dive into something. Like I would say when I do have conversations with people that I meet that are new, I really try to understand the person and try to find out more about them. I very rarely talk about myself or what I do and like what my likes and dislikes are. And I really try to focus on learning more about other people. So I think that is a direct translation to my interest in podcasting as well.
In your podcast, you do talk a lot about yourself. You do talk a lot about how you see things. Did you find the podcast helping you get more comfortable with bringing your own perspective?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it helps me spin it in a more positive fashion versus like airing of grievances, as some might say. I think when we sometimes think about some of our work issues and the things that we're dealing with on a professional level, it may come out as a grievance. And I think when we try to talk about it in a podcast, we tried to add an extra layer to try to button that up and make it more of a productive conversation. We always shed light on the positive and negative. So we always shed light on the positive sides of the things that we do. But we oftentimes talk about some of like the things that we struggle with. And we struggle with even like working in design for how long, like 19, 20, 20 years now, like quite a long time. Surprisingly, the culture of design has not really changed all that much. The things that we do and the artifacts have changed. But I think going back to like some of the feedback from our listeners, I think that there's a very strong sense of community. People are very excited to listen because they feel like they see themselves in us because we're all dealing with like the same, lack of a better term, minutia of design. We're all like in a lot of cases like we're helping a lot of designers that may be design system teams of one or two, and we are effectively their second or third design friend. So that makes us very happy.
Do you have any plans for other podcasts that you want to do?
It's hard to say. Like when we were talking about coming on and talking to you, design systems is a hobby of mine. It is a professional and personal thing, but that's not necessarily what I like to do on my downtime. It's really the editing of the podcasting that I like to do, because that is a little bit devoid of the actual design side. So not sure. I would love to continue to talk to other people and go on other podcasts and have sort of like trades, podcast trades, where you come on, we go on there, we have a conversation. But I haven't thought about any third podcasts.
Tell me about the editing process. I know from PJ that he said he just shows up and you do everything else.
He shows up, provides all the wisdom. I provide some wisdom. The editing, I've gotten down to, because I think we made an emphasis on having the same equipment, the same microphones. We have Shure MV7 is the microphone that we have. The sound is extremely consistent from podcast to podcast. Granted, sometimes I move from one room to another room. That affects some of it, but it's extremely predictable. So what I usually try to do once I get it into the editor is we have specific presets for compression and EQ that I set 30 episodes ago, and it still sounds good. So I'm going to keep those. We have the intro and outro there. So I'll keep those. I have that ramped up. And what I usually do is like I'll pull in my audio and his audio. And this is a specific feature in Logic that wasn't in GarageBand, is I use trim silence to cut out all the dead parts in between. So it doesn't catch the ums. I edit all those out, and I've gotten to the point where I could see what the sound wave of an looks like. So I could see, and I could cut that out for, let's say, like a 30-minute segment. It chops it up into something like 110 different regions. So then you could see all the spaces in between. I tend to try to shorten the pause times as well. And then another sort of tricky thing that I do is I listen to it at 1.25x, because sometimes we talk at a more measured cadence, but I listen to podcasts at 1.25x. So then I edit it at 1.25x.
That's awesome. What sort of advice would you give someone who is considering podcasting?
Give it a shot. So you could start as cheaply as just using, I'd say probably don't use just whatever is on like your computer. You could use like your phone as a microphone. So that is like a trick that I learned doing a Twitter space with Louis from Figma, is like he was using his phone and just holding it up to his face. And then I thought, oh, that can't sound too great. And then I heard it back. I was like, oh, this sounds pretty good. Just holding the iPhone microphone to your face. So you could start with that, or start with just like iPhone or Google headphones. And you could start as easily as just using something like Zoom. It doesn't separate the audio for you, but it's something that facilitates a audio export. And then that's as cheap as you could go. If you're into the minutia of editing and sort of splicing different parts of your audio and making it more buttoned up, you could use a service. Most of these services that we use now for recording, I would say, cost like 10, 12 bucks a month. Give that a shot, see if it works. And I think it's really just doing the first one and putting it out there and seeing if people like it. Obviously, if you do more than one, that would be preferable. Maybe try two or three to see how you're doing. But if it's something that you feel is valuable and like you find joy out of it, just keep it going. And I think it's a great mechanism for meeting people, like personally and professionally. And I think it's been great for me as a mechanism to learn how to speak to people better.
This is amazing. Davey, where can people find you?
You could go to linktree.com/Davey, DAVYF. And you could just Google that too, if like, because the Linktree URL is kind of funky.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.